Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
It's fusion innovation is what it is in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Associate producer Greg Tomlin behind the mic today, sitting beside me, dear friend of mine, of Jeremy Siner's, of Michael Medved's, Dave Bowes of the Washington Policy Center. Thanks so much for sitting in today as we take over for the Cultural Crusader. He will be back tomorrow. Don't fret. So much to get to on a busy news day. Usually the news is fast asleep during the holiday season, but my goodness, there is a smorgasbord of stories to get to.
It's called fake it till you make it.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I mean, so a bunch of people have vacation, all these reporters. Just like everybody at the office, half of them are gone. The same thing is true in with TV and print and radio reporters and stuff. So everybody's looking for something. And if they find anything with a nugget of excitement to it, that thing is going to be flogged. I mean, we're going to flog that thing like it's going to style.
I never thought I'd hear as much about the Lockerbie bombing as I have in the last 72 hours.
I actually had to do a double take on that because I saw a story on it as I was scrolling through. I think it was last night, maybe the night before, and I was wondering, why am I seeing this now, you know? Then when they're talking about
the
this guy, I thought, why didn't we assassinate this guy a long time ago? Like,
yeah.
You know, just like we've got little drones now, we've got all kinds of things. And in my mind, I was like, after 9/11, we really let this guy kind of wander about for a while. I mean, anyway.
So, what type of program are we in store for today? If these 16-ounce Diet Cokes in front of you tells me anything, it's going to be lively, Dave. How many of those do you plan on going through?
I don't have them all at once, you know what I mean?
I know, but you brought in a six-pack of 16-ounce.
You've got to keep the vocal cords lubricated. You know
what
I mean? You've got to keep them up there. So let me tell you one thing that has nothing to do with the news, but I'm betting that no other kid has ever said this before, and it reminded me of the Medved Show.
Okay.
You know, with the Medveds, that was the first family I ever attended a Shabbat with, and so it was really culturally informative for me when I first met Michael. And my son, he's about to turn five, but I think Michael saw him when he was a baby, but that's about it.
Young whippersnapper.
Right. He's just a young kid, and he's like a bull in a china shop, just tears things apart, pulls, you know, just. And he went from the lowest percentile of children, like size-wise, he was like in the 1% to 2%, tiny, tiny kid. And then COVID hit, and I don't know what it was, it spurred growth in him. Like, all of a sudden, he's in the 99 percentile in height and weight, so he's just huge. He walks up to me this morning, whatever. As a parent, as you know, I just get no sleep, so I have no sense of time.
Time is relative.
Time or space, yes, God. But he said, Dad, it was this morning. Dad, I like Hanukkah. I want to celebrate Hanukkah.
And he became Jewish during the pandemic,
I thought to myself, no kid in the history of film has ever said, you know, there's all these movies about kids, you know, Jewish kids being sad about Christmas time because, hey, you know what, Christmas, everybody's got presents and all this cool stuff. You know, my kid sees a message about Hanukkah, and he's like, I want Hanukkah. And I was like, I said, why Hanukkah, Ryan? What's the deal with Hanukkah? And he said, you got candles, and they got a lot of days of presents.
That's true.
That's the message you got. So,
Are you going to show him Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights? I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
I saw 5 minutes of it, and I never... okay. If it was a Christmas movie, I'd rank it in the worst Christmas films, but instead it is not. I know there are some who like it because it's, you know, when you're talking about Hanukkah movies, there's not a lot going there. So God bless them for trying. But I did think, however, though, I thought I've got a little convert on my,
love
my
it.
Hands here.
Lots more personal anecdotes as the show rolls along. And again, so much to get to. Nuclear fusion innovation. There's the FTX dude that got arrested in the Bahamas. We're going to get into the worst Christmas movies of all time as the show moves along. But first, I want to talk about what I see as the biggest news story of the day. And you mentioned it right here at the outset. You're a father of young kids, as am I. There's a new bill from a bipartisan group of lawmakers that would ban TikTok in the U.S. The bill comes after years of broad concern across the Trump and Biden administrations about potential Chinese government influence on the company. I have to admit, I just turned 40 in September. I am not on the TikToks. I have a Facebook account. I have a Twitter account, but I'm mainly reposting stories and using it for show prep. I have an Instagram account, but lately every time I post something, it just feels self-indulgent, and why am I doing this, I ask myself. TikTok, I've just never downloaded. I don't allow my kids on it because the stuff I've seen over people's shoulder, I just go, what benefit to society does this 10-second video have? It just seems like the app is making the U.S. dumber, and that's not a conspiracy theory. TikTok is run, as everybody knows by now, by a Chinese company that is directly influenced and or controlled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. And not only are they taking all the data from kids in America off of TikTok, who knows what else they're grabbing from us and sticking it into their algorithm where they can smoke it. I am all in favor of banning this app for a myriad of reasons. What was your first reaction to this story? One, do you think it will find success in the legislature? Do you think it will ultimately be banned? And two, should it be banned?
No, I don't think it'll be banned. Here's the thing. You look at this, and I think TikTok's got a bunch of problems. Like you, I didn't upload TikTok or download TikTok on my phone because once I read it was owned by the Chinese state company, I wasn't eager to hand over the data real quick. That said, do you have any faith whatsoever that Facebook and others that operate in China, do you have any faith that they wouldn't turn over data at some point, or the data wouldn't be stolen at some point? It's like I look at Hollywood, where you know they go and they make a movie, they release it in China. It's the market that's so many people. It's like their dream, and then they get 25% of the take. The rest of the money has to stay in China, but they advertise like they've made all this money in China, but only a slice of it gets to come back. The rest of it stays in China, and you start to wonder, and you'll see these other companies that will do things like change their search engines and other things to placate the Chinese Communist government. So when I look at this, I think, okay, so we know social media is damaging to the psyches of kids. Ultimately, you know, if parents aren't willing to curtail their kids' involvement in certain social media mm-hmm. based on higher suicide rates and other things, you know, that's on us, you know. And I'm not sure that there's a cure if we're not interested in preserving our own. The most interesting thing about TikTok to me was I saw a thing where in China, TikTok spreads information to kids, and it's things like
– it's educational.
Right. How to be a scientist. I want to be an engineer.
Here's advanced mathematics.
Right. Made easy for you.
How fun.
And these kids are like, whoa, I'm gonna download that app. This is awesome. I've learned a new algorithm.
And they only get
seconds.
To use it sparingly. It's like 45 minutes a day, and then they're cut off.
And it times out. The app itself will cut them off. And then they ship it to the U.S., and it's like, kids, I want you on this 24/7. And the number one thing I want you to watch
look is at this guy getting hit in the cojones over and over and
inane
over.
Inane videos, sexually promiscuous videos, whatever we can do to undermine your attention span, your desire to learn. And so it's basically China's playing a long game, feeding the U.S. what it wants to entertain ourselves to death. Hat tip to author Simon and, you know, what, 1980s, amusing ourselves to death. And, you know, and that's what we're doing. We're doing it. We're feeding our kids that. And so, you know, at some point you got to say, you know, is it TikTok or is there a bigger problem there? So
the movie Dumb and Dumber was not supposed to be a prophecy. The film Idiocracy was not supposed to be a documentary. But that's where we seem to be headed as a society as we read less and less and put less of a premium on education and place more importance on the glowing rectangles that are in everybody's hands. I think it was a Roman emperor, Aurelian, who once said, and no, it's not because I'm well-versed in this Roman, but because I saw this post and, in fact, check it to see if it was legit. He said, you're naive if you don't know that intense stigmas are the only thing keeping many great evils at bay. I think it's okay to place a stigma on social media. Make it cool to live in the now, as philosopher Garth Algar once said. It's producer Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes in for your cultural crusader. As the show rolls along, we got so much more to get to. We'll be right back. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is... you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
It's the Michael Medved Show. Associate producer Greg Tomlin behind one mic. Dear friend of the show, Dave Bowes, behind the other. I want to ask a question here to begin segment number two. And maybe I'll ask this to Jeremy as well. Executive producer, Pride of Hillsdale College. November 7th, I get this text, okay? I'm looking at it right now on my phone. Hi, Greg! Exclamation point. Did you receive my voicemail a few days ago? I hope all is well and that I have the correct number, exclamation point. Do you guys respond to a text like that? It doesn't show up on my phone that it's anybody in my contacts, but maybe it's someone I do know or a maintenance guy I had at my house recently.
I only respond with my routing number and bank account number.
Just
you
that.
Know, just say, look, just take what you need.
Not your Charles you Schwab know. Account number.
Oh, everything. I mean, if they need more, why not? You know, this is one of those things where whenever somebody doesn't say who they are and they're asking
red flag,
kind of
right?
Question, or they say, how are you? Whether it's they're
it's
messaging
been a while.
Me, like, yeah, it's been a while. You know, I sure miss talking to you, old you. I never respond to any of those. They're lucky if I know them. If I respond to them, unless you know, I figure if they actually know me and they have something, they can add to that conversation later and say, "Oh, it's me again. I'm trying to reach you because we went to high school together. My name is such and such." You know, other than that. No thanks. And I don't even know what it can do. Like, you know, with your phone, they're just going to verify. They're going to try and fish for information from you. But, you know, why should I give them anything?
So I had the same instinct as you. So yeah. I just ignored the text. Then 10 minutes before showtime today, get a text from the same number. Mm-hmm. This has been escalated, okay? And the person writes, "Hate to text you unexpectedly, but is this Greg over at?" And then it lists my address.
Nice.
"This is blank," and it lists a name. "I have a quick question." So he's got my name and address somehow, delivers a name to me, which might be fake or not. But now I'm starting to go, this is creepy, and I kind of want to respond to see who the heck this is.
I might respond to that one. I'd say, "My name is Charlene, and the question's not that quick, because if it was quick, you would have put it in the original text."
Or do I say, "New number, who dis?"
Now, as a radio broadcaster, you would know this, right, where... And one of the pet peeves in radio is when you're running short on time at the end of an hour or a hard break and you take a call and somebody says, "I've got a quick comment for you, Michael." And just by saying, "I've got a quick comment for you, Michael," you've wasted a certain amount of time. If you've got a quick one, just do it. Just say that comment or ask the question, do it. Same thing with your text here. You know, it's like if you got a quick question, you just ask the question. But if you say, "I've got a quick question and I'm going to leave it a mystery," it means it's not quick and you've got something
else
going on.
It means he's trying to prompt a response sink the bait or the hook even further. And I always feel bad for the unsuspecting grandmas who get texts like this that probably respond right away. "Oh, maybe it's my dear friend Charlotte back from 1983.
My grandma, God bless her, thank God. You know, she passed before the advent of social media, because I remember going to her apartment one time and visiting her, and she was really upset because she was getting phone calls asking for charitable donations, and her heart was in the right place, but she was on a fixed income and she couldn't afford it. And so she said, "I'm just so frustrated. They keep telling me, and I send them a check, but they call and ask for more, and I just don't have it." And I was like, "What is going on?" And it was some place trying to sell her light bulbs, and they claimed that they were helping the disabled. And I just said, "No, from now on, you know, just tell them that all charitable donations, you call, just have them call my cell phone." I gave her my cell phone, and I just said, "Just tell them you have to call your grandson first, and then I'll screen them for you." And, of course, my screening process was no, you know, and oh, no. But she had like a closet, a box of these light bulbs from places, and they were mean to her. You know, they called because they knew they could put the pressure on. And now that with social media, it's vastly worse with all these ridiculous scams and phishing opportunities.
Well, and I know this was a tangential subject to the main point at hand here, which is a new bill from a bipartisan group of lawmakers that would ban TikTok in the U.S. But it's related to these glowing rectangles that we all have in our back pockets, and we're just trying to help the listeners be as innocent as doves and sagacious as serpents. Let's get to some of the audio sound bites here on this topic. My wife and I were watching this show called Wednesday on Netflix the other day. It's apparently all the rage.
Adam's Family Spin.
It's an Adam's Family spinoff directed by the Tim Burton, at least the first 3 to 4 episodes. And all these preteen girls are into the show. And so our daughter says, "Can I watch Wednesday? I'm getting all this pressure to watch it." And, of course, for mommy and daddy, that means way more work because we want to screen things that go into our child's brain before they just take it all in. And, of course, I go into it thinking this is going to be woke as heck. It's going to be progressive propaganda because it basically follows Wednesday Addams and her adventures in a new school that she's attending. I was pleasantly surprised by some of the messaging in this show. And it's clip 19, Jeremy. This is one of the clips I isolated. And she's getting pressure from fellow students to join social media. And here's what... Well, okay, so it's clip 19, Wednesday Adam. She basically responds by saying, I'm not going to get on it because it's a waste of time. It seems self-indulgent, and it's an endless circle of affirmation that is soul-sucking. I almost got out of my chair and gave the show a round of applause. Needless to say, we're letting our 12-year-old watch it. But culture is upstream of politics, right? This is where the stigmas begin, is on things like TV shows and in music and, you know, prominent people that are high profile sounding the alarm and starting to say, it's not cool to be on the device all day long. Get off. Like, get off of it. Here's what it sounded like.
I know you should really get on Insta, Snapchat, and TikTok. I find social media to be a source of avoid and meaningless affirmation.
Pretty succinct, but yeah. You get the point.
What they should do, instead of trying to put up a bill that bans TikTok, because I was thinking about this during the break, I thought, yeah, it bothers me. It's owned by a Chinese company, and the reason for that, why it bothers me, is that means the Chinese communist government could demand things whenever they want. They claim their data is safe. I find that to be probably laughable. But at the same time, I thought, what is different about TikTok compared to everything else? Because the same inane... diminishment of attention span and the rest is everywhere. It's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram. I mean, you know, on any, it's on television, you know, old school streaming, everything is like that. And so I don't really see that much of a difference between the various formats. I think you might have more success instead of trying to ban it, which makes it cooler if old people are trying to ban it, just have Ted Cruz join it. You know, get Ted Cruz to join it. Maybe a few other
stigma.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell. Tell them they've got their. I love going on TikTok and making cool videos. You know, have them do a couple of videos on there, and then just kind of advertise it for. Start running some advertisements for people that are over the age of 45. You know. Just feature them and things that they think are cool and hip and fun.
I just wonder, and perhaps it's wishful thinking, perhaps I'm a credulous guest host slash producer here on the Michael Medved Show, but do all these platforms have their moment in the sun before they fade away? What was the first social media site you can think of off the top of your head?
MySpace.
MySpace. Who were your top five, by the way?
I never did MySpace.
Was Jeremy one of your top five?
Didn't do a MySpace.
Oh, I didn't do MySpace. You're above it all. Okay, but so, my point is MySpace is no more.
I had a flip phone, Greg.
Then it came Facebook. I hardly go on Facebook. Then it goes Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. Maybe there's a window here where these sites dominate and then they slowly just peter out.
It's very possible.
I'm saying let's hope. Coming up, the Dispatch's Kevin Williamson on the Michael Medved Show. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. I want to talk with you about a new consumer website.
MichaelMedved.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today is the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Rich Johnson. President Biden is touting the new report that shows inflation cooling, and he's taking credit for some long-term improvement.
Every single month of my presidency, we've added jobs, a total of 10,500,000 new jobs. 750,000 of them are manufacturing jobs.
The consumer price index rose at a slower annual rate last month.
And 10 years after he came out in favor of same-sex marriage, the president's due to sign the Defense of Marriage Act into law. The bill mandates federal recognition for same-sex and interracial marriages. It is miserable in much of the USA as a massive storm blows across the country. It's even spawned tornadoes in parts of Oklahoma and Texas. Blizzard warnings are up from Montana to western Nebraska and Colorado. Sleet is the big concern in the eastern Great Plains. This is USA Radio News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Greg Tomlin and Dave Bose sitting in for your cultural crusader, Michael Medved. So pleased to welcome back to the program Kevin Williamson, who is formerly of National Review, now writes for The Dispatch, has a great piece called Two Cheers for Partisanship. Is it Independence Day in America, I would ask? Not July 4th, but are we catapulting towards a time in our politics where we can transcend our two-party system and realize some sort of free-thinking, open-minded landscape here in America? Of course, the news just within the last week that Kyrsten Sinema is leaving the Democratic Party, declaring her independence in Arizona. Might Joe Manchin join the GOP or go independent himself? Kevin Williamson, thanks for the piece here, and thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure.
So you ask a question here about halfway through your piece. You say that the problem with the two, it's not a question, it's a statement. The problem with the two big political parties isn't that there is somebody secretly pulling the strings from behind the scenes. The problem is that there isn't. What do you mean by that?
Well, the political parties essentially don't have any power anymore. They've had sort of binding primary systems imposed on them in most places. So they don't really have the kind of party that they had, the power that they had, you know, in the early 20th century, certainly in the 19th century, where they could sort of pick and choose candidates, decide who they're going to nominate, who they're not going to nominate. They're really beholden now to the outcome of primaries. And that has led to a lot of, I think, negative consequences. You know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, someone like Donald Trump never would have gotten with 100 miles of the Republican nomination. And someone like Bernie Sanders wouldn't have been the biggest player in the Democratic Party as he is, which is remarkable in both of those cases that neither one of those men is actually a member of the party with which they are so strongly associated. You know, Bernie Sanders is famously an independent, and Trump was never really a Republican until he decided he wanted the Republican nomination. So, you know, we have this situation in which the parties are really mirror images of one another, and they tell each other the same story. You have these angry partisans who say that our policies are really popular, what we need to do is present them with sufficient outrage and passion. And the reason we can't do that is that we have this party establishment, which is in the pocket of donors and corporate interests or whatever, and they keep us from being able to do that. And the story just simply isn't true. The political parties and these, you know, nefarious establishments have the sort of power attributed to them. We have a very different sort of politics than we do. So I think that we have too much populism, obviously, in our politics. I'm against populism for the same reason that I'm in favor of markets, that I believe people are pretty good at running their own lives. We're pretty bad at running other people's lives, and we need to keep those sorts of decision-making powers in a fairly narrow lane. And I would like us to actually have a stronger political party system than we do. I mean, think about cinema leaving the Democrats. Is it effectively won't make any difference? I mean, it wasn't like there was some party establishment telling her what to do, what she could do, what she couldn't do. It probably won't even make a difference in terms of elections, because they were going to primary her anyway because they're unhappy with her performance in office.
Do you think that the Republican and Democrat parties are in an equal position, based on this observation, an equal position of impotence? Because I was thinking about, you know, this, and it's clear that there's been a diminishment of party. And I think you're right about a lot of these things. But I was also thinking, you know, when Obama and Hillary ran, you know, there was a lot of effort to try to boost Hillary as the chosen one by party officials. Mm-hmm. And then same thing, you know, against Bernie Sanders. They were successful against Sanders. They had, you know, I think the congresswoman from Hawaii who just switched to independent, speaking of Tulsi Gabbard, you know, pointed out that the Democrats were kind of stacking the deck in Hillary's favor, too. So the party machine seems to still be active, although failing, on the Democrat side, and it just seems to be ineffective on the Republican side. Do you think the Democrats are a step behind this evolution, or do you think that we're even Steven at this point?
I think the Democrats are a little bit more disciplined of a political party still because of the presence of self-interested, longstanding institutions like labor unions, or particularly public sector labor unions, that have given the Democrats the ability to continue to operate in a slightly more coherent way than the Republicans. The Republicans are completely dominated by entertainment, by Fox News, by social media stuff, by various internet-based entertainment companies, and particularly by talk radio.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead,
Kevin. Yes. So for the seventh year in the past decade, this according to a Gallup study, Americans named dissatisfaction with the government as the nation's top problem in the year 2022. An average of 19% of U.S. adults have mentioned some aspect of the government as the most important problem facing the nation. Inflation is in second. The economy in general is in third. How do we fix this? I mean, political involvement, at least by voters, seems to have never been higher. We're breaking voting records left and right. Is the problem us?
Yeah, angry, passionate, and stupid is a bad, dangerous combination. And stupid is probably too strong a word, but ignorant. You know, every time I see a poll, well, 90% of Americans, you know, want this, or 80% of Americans believe that. 60% of Americans think there are aliens walking around with us. You know, what the average American thinks is not a real good guy for anything. That's why we don't have a direct democracy to start with. That's why we have a Republican form of government with mitigating institutions. That's why we have things in our Constitution that are explicitly anti-democratic, like the Bill of Rights. You know, the Bill of Rights is a list of stuff you people don't get to vote on, basically. We're going to have freedom of religion, even if 51% of the people don't like it. We're going to have freedom of speech, even if 54% of the people don't like it. Democracy is really important. I can sound sort of sneering about the subject of democracy sometimes. Democracy is really important, but it's a tool for one job, and it's not something that makes bad ideas good simply because they're popular, or makes bad ways of doing things intelligent ways of doing things simply because they're popular. You know, we use democracy to choose representatives because the alternative to that basically is civil war and violence. You know, it's Hobbes and the war of all against all. We've got a way around that, and it's really, really precious for that reason. But that is that's really all it's good for. And once you are past that, you've got questions about, well, what actually works? What actually is intelligent? What actually is virtuous? And you know this because people don't really practice a lot of democracy in their own lives. You know, people don't have two parents and four kids vote about how the household finances are going to be organized. If you've got a kid who's got a serious medical problem, you don't take a poll about what to do about it. You ask somebody who really knows. And so we've got this sort of basic tension in American life, and every democracy has this to an extent, between wanting to be accountable to the people, which is where you should be, versus being deferential to the people, which you probably shouldn't be. You know, this goes back to Burke and his observations that representatives don't owe people their obedience. They owe them their judgment and their good sense in their industry, which sometimes puts them at odds with what their constituents want. So I think that we need mitigating institutions. That's why you've got a press. That's why you've got churches. That's why you've got civil society. And one of the really important mitigating institutions for a long time in our country was political parties. And for some reason, we kind of hold the parties in contempt and we blame them for, you know, various things about the way in which our politics is unhappy. But it's not really the parties that do this. You know, if you'll notice throughout American life, going all the way back to even before the Revolution, you've got essentially two camps. You've got two big tribes in American society, and their particular constituents and components change a little over time. But you basically always got two of them. They always kind of hate each other. The roots are in, you know, sort of country life and farm life versus city life. And this is something that's been with us for a very, very long time. So you could dissolve the Republican Party tomorrow, and you could dissolve the Democratic Party the day after. It wouldn't change anything about our politics because those two forces and those two tendencies would simply reorganize themselves and coalesce around new names, new labels, you know, new bank accounts, new social media handles, but everything else would stay the same.
It's sort of an inevitable yin and yang dynamic.
Do you think that the parties have the ability to recover and be the strong kind of institutional outlets that you're looking for, you know, that kind of curb the populist trends and kind of keep things into more of a, you know, a wider buy-in middle?
Yeah, we've really hobbled the parties in some important ways. I mean, partly this was, you know, a longstanding progressive desire to kind of democratize things. And then some of it is that we've imposed a lot of rules having to do with voting rights, you know, based on disputes we were having during the Civil Rights era. And without changing those laws and giving the parties a freer hand in choosing their own nominees, it's going to be really hard to reinstate them as important cultural and political forces.
Kevin Williamson, thank you so much for the time. I know you're a busy man, enjoying this conversation greatly. Might you be able to hang on for one more segment on the other side of the break?
Sure, I'd love to.
Hey, appreciate it. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special MedVed history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a MedHead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on MedVed History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it, and commercial free. MedHead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a MedHead Plus member as soon as you can.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Sir, Greg Tomlin, sitting alongside Dave Bowes, sitting in for your cultural crusader, Michael Medved, today. Pleased to be joined for one more segment with the Dispatch's Kevin Williamson. Great piece called Two Cheers for Partisanship that you should go check out at michaelmedved.com. Kevin, before you joined the show, we were talking about a new bill from a bipartisan group of lawmakers that would ban TikTok in the U.S. This from Marco Rubio, Mike Gallagher, and a Democrat from the state of Illinois. You know, Condoleezza Rice once said the four horsemen of the apocalypse were nativism, isolationism, protectionism, and populism. My question to you would be, there's no doubt in my mind that populism has gotten worse with the advent of social media. Do you think that more oversight, regulation, and or outright banning of some of these apps would help curb populism, or what's your take?
Yeah, I think TikTok is kind of a special case in that there's the question of its relationship to the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party, and how much it's being used as an instrument of surveillance and such. But if you imagine that there was a version of TikTok that was, you know, based in Provo and was not connected to the Chinese Communist Party, then you have a different sort of thing. So I suppose we could maybe talk about the U.S.-based ones like Twitter and Facebook and such. I think that social media certainly has turbocharged some of the tendencies that were already there. But, you know, most of the craziness you see on social media and the kind of weird tribalism and paranoia it brings out in people has been part of our politics for a long time. You know, I'm just old enough to remember back in the days of, like, you know, crazy right-wing conspiracy facts lists, where you get these random faxes that would go out to, you know, thousands and thousands of people and tell you about the Bilderbergs and the lizard people and how, you know, Queen Elizabeth was secretly running the world from Buckingham Palace and all that kind of stuff.
Are you saying the Bohemian Grove is not a threat? Sorry. Sorry, I cut you off. Continue.
We don't talk about Bohemian. No, I don't
think anything
about those guys. They've got the giant owl statue out there, right? That's the Bohemian Grove guys. But, yeah, so we've got technology that makes this stuff more immediate, more pervasive, and easier to disseminate craziness. And instead of having to, you know, print up lithographs and send them around or send them by a fax or things like that. But I don't think it's really all that different. I mean, you go back and look at, you know, the craziness of, you know, some radio broadcasts in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. You know, similar kinds of nuttiness and similar kinds of, you know, paranoia and conspiracy talk and all that sort of thing. So yeah, there are particular problems with social media in its structure that, you know, it's kind of its reward system, if you will, is based on outrageousness and getting strong visceral reactions from people. So if you're the sort of person who says, well, we really have to think about this issue carefully, and, you know, the other side has some good points, you're not going to really get that 10 million hits on Facebook that Dan Bongino is going to get in the next 10 minutes.
So what's the one of the challenges, you know, you mentioned talk radio as being a problem, and there have been, I can't remember where, but I remember reading a piece describing how there's a great reward system in talk radio and in cable television, you know, on both sides, where you can advocate and you can win a primary by destroying someone and still lose the general election, but as a broadcaster, you win because people followed you. They see that there was a quote unquote accomplishment because they defeated somebody within a smaller election, and there seems to be a blind spot that, you know, that ultimately they lost the larger election because there's someone else to blame or some third party. But there's a reward for being, you know, the person of destruction in you know, in the earlier stages. And, you know, instead of trying to...
Yeah, I think that's actually part of what this ongoing idiotic, you know, us versus the elites storyline that you get in all partisan media essentially is about. Because if you're Sean Hannity and your whole thing is, I'm here to help us win elections, you know, that's now the theme of my show for the next 6 months is winning the election and saying, you know, all the nice things I can think of to say about Donald Trump. And then, you know, 3 months later, Trump says, well, we need to vacate the Constitution and have me reinstalled. Plus, you lost the election. Then you can just go back to, well, it's all really, you know, it's Mitch McConnell doing stuff behind the scenes. It's not us. It's not us idiots who actually run things and actually move people around and have the biggest megaphone. It's this guy that you don't really know much about, who doesn't really have all that much power, but he's got a title and he's been there for a long time, so we can blame that guy. Yeah, the incentive structure for broadcast is really goofy. I think that to the extent that we're going to, for the next 1,000 years, live in a world in which the main theater of ideas is not books, but things like Twitter and short radio conversations and things like that, it's going to be difficult to really counteract that because it's difficult to have, you know, a sustained, nuanced, well-informed conversation, even on a very good radio show. There's only so much you can do in the few minutes that we have between commercials. Even less so on Twitter and Facebook and other sorts of social media. So, but the incentive structure is never going to change, right? Because the more doggy vitamins you sell, the better.
With the midterms just having occurred a little over a month ago now, what message do you think the American people were sending when they cast their votes? Sure, a lot of it is local, but more broadly, do you think things now get worse for our politics and the way the country is run, or were Americans sending a signal that we want more stability in government?
Yeah, I don't think Americans as a whole were saying anything. You know, people in Florida were saying, we like DeSantis. People in California are not saying that. And that's okay. That's how our politics is supposed to work. We're going to have a lot of geographic variability. And we're going to have a lot of variability across income groups and different social groups and things like that. So anytime someone asks me for a piece of analysis of what is the country saying, well, the country isn't saying anything because the country doesn't speak with one voice, which is why we have elections and such. You know, it's this kind of politics, democratic politics, is about disagreement, not about agreement. That being said, you know, I think what we can glean from the midterms is that Americans don't learn easily and they don't learn quickly, but they can eventually learn sometimes. And they can look at a Herschel Walker and say, okay, well, this guy's a jackass, and we're not going to elect this guy, even though we're going for Republicans in every other election in the state. So they're eventually, I think, starting to spot some of these, you know, hucksters and grifters and incompetents and things like that. But, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's going to be in the House probably for as long as she wants to. You know, Boebert got reelected, if only just barely. So, you know, it's a slow process, I think, of learning that people may be, some people, anyway, have started to figure a few things out.
And real quickly here, we're almost out of time, but here's a non sequitur alert. It is, 'tis the season. What is the best Christmas movie of all time and worst Christmas movie of all time? Sorry to put you on the spot, but I had to do it. I value your opinion greatly on multiple matters.
Yeah, I don't really know Christmas movies that well.
Oh.
I haven't spent a lot of time watching Christmas movies. So I'm not sure I've got super strong opinions on that.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? I know that's a cliche.
I've never, I've never seen it actually.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Wait till Goldberg.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm a little culturally isolated. So, I said, oh, what's a good one? Home Alone's pretty good.
I think okay, quality choice.
I was on the other day, and I watched Home Alone, and that was all right. And then I imagine the worst ones are the Home Alone sequels, which I haven't seen. But, well, I'm just going to assume they are.
Nice.
Yeah. We can, yeah, actually,
Trump was in Home Alone, too.
That's right.
And Lost in New York, that's right, yeah.
Home Alone.
Although I think in some versions they cut him, haven't they? Didn't they edit him out of, like, one broadcast of it, I think?
Yeah, that's another kind of story there, too.
He was shadow banned.
Very much appreciate your time here on the show and your work there at the Dispatch.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin Williamson. We'll be sure to try to get him back tomorrow to talk about the Golden Globes. it's Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes sitting in for your cultural crusader today. Michael Medved, really appreciate the conversation. Love all of Williamson's pieces. Do you remember that he had that short stint with the Atlantic before they went crazy? And dumped him?
That was the one question I wanted to get to with him, which was...
Oh, sorry. I cut you off with the Christmas question.
There's we got the social media cut off, but institutional media does the same thing. They did it to him. It's like you bring up a controversial topic, you bring up a taboo topic, or an opinion that's not part of the new cultural wave, which, by the way, is not the majority wave. It's a very powerful cultural wave. And then all of a sudden you're supposed to be shut out. You're not supposed to be employed. You're not supposed to be heard. You're supposed to be defined as a horrible person and not employable. Disney won't work with you anymore. All these kinds of ridiculous things. So I'm not sure the institutional powers, the institutional print media and others are any different from the social media or the populist trends. So I'd be curious to know, but that's a story for another day. I am, Greg, looking forward to the worst of Christmas movies as well as the best. I was thinking about this just the other night because, here we are, well into the advent of film, and there are very few good Christmas movies.
Well, we'll get to that as well as a breakthrough in nuclear fusion. I've been informed it's not cold fusion. Let's go back to science class on this topic. We'll get to that next hour. And then how about that...
Yes, from Taco Bell.
What?
I'm just joking.
How about that FTX dude that was arrested in the Bahamas, making a lot of headlines today, just hours before he was supposed to testify before Congress? Is there a...
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.